Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin tonight with two questions. First, are there limits to God's generosity and love? And secondly, when does a disciple of Jesus not have to follow what Jesus asks of his disciples? Let's start with the second question. The choice to be a disciple or not to be is just that. It's a choice. God offers us truth, and with his grace, we decide to follow that truth or not. We are not forced. If we were coerced or compelled to love God, forced to obey him, then that, by definition, would not be love. And we would not be then in God's image. Now, those who are married, of you who are married for any length of time, know real, true love is a choice, not a fleeting feeling or an innate instinct. We must choose the good of the other. In Jesus Christ, we have nothing less, right, than God himself teaching us personally what it means to be his disciple. The word disciple means student, which means, therefore, there is a teacher. If we are the student, there is a teacher. And for the Christian disciple, that teacher is Jesus, God incarnate. God come to earth. The prophet Isaiah had said, they shall all be taught by God. And it happened. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus quotes this very line during the Bread of Life discourse. So notice, he says that we will all be taught by God himself, while at the same time, he is laying out the theology for being fed by his own body and blood. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. This is the Eucharist, the Mass. You and I are right now, at this very moment, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. We are being taught by God and fed by him. I say all this because Jesus, our teacher, lays out some very difficult things for us, his students, his disciples. Our homework is not easy. This brings us now to a reflection on the first point. Are there limits to God's generosity and love? We put limits on them, but there are no limits. The true Christian is nothing less, right, than another Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, to reflect Jesus Christ. And in the gospel, Jesus is indirectly giving us a portrait of himself. Nothing limits God's generosity and love. Nothing. He shows us who God is, really, a generous God. And if we are miserly and grudging towards God and with our time with him, he is still lavish and generous with us, trying to constantly bring us back. If we oppose him, disobey him, and abandon him, he will not. He keeps on loving us because he wants us to come back. He simply doesn't give up on us. Now do this. Picture in your mind Jesus in the gospel as he speaks these words. Love your enemies. Stop judging. Stop condemning. Forgive. Give. Bless. What do you imagine his face is looking like while he is saying these words? Is he angry? Is his voice like thunder, threatening to smite us for the least deviation from his words? Hardly. Jesus speaks eagerly and enthusiastically because he is imparting to us the open secret of what it means to be a child of God, to be his disciples. Your reward will be great, he says. Gifts will be given to you, overflowing and poured into your lap. That's the kind of God we serve. One who has no limits on his generosity, no limits on his love, because God is love. And as Jesus said, he loves the wicked too. One who is always looking for more ways to, in fact, shower us with his goodness. That is our God, and that is our model. That is our standard. And before you say it, yes, it is possible. God will help you with it. Never doubt God's love and forgiveness. Recall what Jesus said while hanging on the cross, looking down at the very people who put him there, who crucified him, condemned him innocently. What did he say? Father, forgive them. So, first, if there is something that you have buried in your heart, something that you have hidden from God because you think he won't forgive you for it, now is the time to dig it up and lay it there at the foot of the cross. Lay it at God's feet. He already knows what it is, after all. We don't really hide these things. And he has been longing for you to simply turn it over to him so that he can free you from it. Do it right now at this Mass. Why wait? And make a definitive break, right? Definitive break with it by coming to confession. Bring it to confession. Why wait? Lent is right around the corner. It's the best way to begin so you can breathe again. And also, is there someone in your life whom you haven't forgiven? If so, decide right now to forgive that person. Let go of the chains of anger that bind you. You and I are other Christs, Christians. Let's act like it. We are God's children. We have God's own grace flowing through our hearts, flowing through our veins. We have access to the strength to forgive and to start over. Our prayer for those who do wrong to us both breaks the power of revenge and releases the power of love to do good in the face of evil. So how is it possible to love those who cause us harm, those even who have seriously hurt us? Well, with God, all things are possible. It's not your power. You have none. He gives the power and the grace to do it. His love conquers all, even our hurts, our fears, and our griefs. Only the cross of Jesus Christ can free us from the tyranny, and that's exactly what it is in our lives, the tyranny of hatred, revenge, and resentment, and can give us the courage to return evil with good. His love and grace have the power to heal. And finally, one very last quick reflection. Jesus also came to redeem our language, the words we use toward each other. Imagine how different the world would be if just half of us, Christian disciples, refused to gossip, avoided lying or listening to lies. If we refused to speak badly of our neighbors, and instead make a special effort to speak well of people when they are not around. Imagine how much light that would spread. Stop judging. Stop condemning, Jesus insists. He longs for us to use this great gift of language to build up our neighbors, our families, our communities, and in doing that, we will build up our own selves. As authentic disciples, we must ask Christ's forgiveness for the times that we have used his gift of language to tear people down. Ask God now for the grace to be a better steward of this gift in the coming week. Think about the power of language and the gift that it is. The dolphins and whales and all the other animals and all of the communication they might be trying to do is nothing like us. We have such power in language to do good, to spread his light by our words. Our lives and our world, I think we agree, need more light, not more darkness. Make the free choice now to be and speak God's light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.